You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Tonight we're talking about The Prodigy, which is the newest film directed by Nicholas McCarthy, who you might know from, he did a Netflix film called The Pact, which I rather liked. I don't know if a lot of people watched it or not. Did any of you guys?
I did not watch it.
You did not see it?
No. I thought maybe the movie was about me, because when I was a kid in school, I was in the Gifted and Talented program.
Oh, you were?
I'm kind of a big deal. It turned out really well for me.
So
I'm on this podcast.
You're a 95th percentile, I guess, right? So this is starring Jackson Robert Scott, who you may know played Georgie in the new It, who was, I thought, absolutely fantastic.
I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah, we looked it up. Once you see his picture on IMDb, you're like, oh, it's him. Of course it's him. And he plays a gifted child who, as he's growing up, his parents are discovering just how gifted he really is. And then all hell breaks loose when they find out that there's another presence or something.
Yeah.
Or
it was never fully... So what they made sure that you knew it wasn't a possession.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to go that route.
Yeah, and so, even just now, as you were explaining the fact that he was a prodigy, it didn't really have anything to do with what was happening to him.
Other than, like, maybe because he was already an adult, so he knew some of this stuff?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So he had, like, these adult understandings of things, but at such a young age, because he was channeling this other person.
Weak link.
Yeah. Really weak link. But anyway, this is Patience.
JC.
Miguel.
And obviously, we're talking about The Prodigy for Highly Suspect Reviews. What did you think about it, JC, overall? What did you...
I mean, you know, didn't have a lot of high expectations going in. So it's just kind of that January, February horror dump. You know, it about met the expectations where I was at. I was... you mentioned that it was the kid from It, so I was kind of impressed by him. Excited to see Taylor Schilling in a movie, because she hasn't done very many movies. She's in Orange is the New Black, if you're not familiar, which Patience wasn't familiar.
Nope.
And so I think if you're a fan of that show, you know, this she's here for that.
She's actually really good in this. She has, like, this really great chemistry, I think, with the kid, with Jackson, you definitely feel like a connection between the two of them. Whereas in some other movies, you're like, oh, I'm not buying that she's his mom.
Well, if you're talking about the connection between the mother and the child, I totally bought that. But I don't know if they meant to do this on purpose, but there was like no chemistry between the mother and the wife and the husband,
yeah.
In my opinion. It just wasn't there. I mean, and then, you know, at the first sign of a problem, to me, it felt like the father was like, let's just chuck him in the insane asylum and just move on, because our relationship is suffering from this.
Yeah, he seemed kind of like an afterthought, I think. He wasn't really super, he didn't have a lot of depth as a character. And then, yeah, even at the beginning when they're going on this date night, you're just like, okay. Yeah. Like, I don't think you guys are really that romantic. Like, yeah. There wasn't a lot of chemistry.
They basically went to go neck.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
They're like 30 or 40 years old, you know?
And it sort of like explains sort of the probably a lot of men feel like this, women feel like this, the man's role in raising a family, where she's like, it seems like we used to have a lot more fun when we were younger and before we had a kid and we were drunk all the time. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm still drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, he's clearly not doing very much in the raising of the child department.
And I didn't really mind it so much, but they don't really explain a whole lot of the family dynamic. Like, it's apparent kind of that she's a stay-at-home mom, but yeah. We never really know what the husband does for a living, even though they live in like a really nice house.
Beautiful
in the suburbs.
It's one of those really weird screenwriting quirks where it's like, yeah, we have no idea what these people do for a living, but clearly they make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, they have like nice cars, a 3-car garage, and like can afford really expensive like schools for prodigies.
Yeah.
One of the things I do think that the movie was a little bit predictable in a lot of ways, but there were some really great scenes, specifically with the kid, that I was like, wow, that's cool. I like that. Like, they really went there, and I didn't think they were going to go there in certain scenes, especially between there's a scene between him and his schoolmate where he doesn't like what the schoolmate's doing. And I was like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. This movie was definitely trying to shock you. The way that audiences were shocked when The Exorcist first came out and Reagan is saying, you know, your mother's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, that they were trying to shock you that way. He actually has a scene similar to that where the little kid is using profanity and you're like, whoa.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And you're just, and like, the rest of the crowd in the theater was like, oh my God, because they were just blown away.
Yeah. Are people incapable of being shocked without exclaiming it out loud?
Not the women I was sitting next to.
JC was telling me about the females that he had in his row.
Oh, you were closer to them?
Yeah.
We got lucky.
Yeah, we did. I know. We totally did. Because we could hear them down in the fourth row, too. They were really loud. Oh, they were shocked and amazed. Never seen a horror movie before, I guess.
But yeah, Patience and I were talking in the car about, or at least I was raising the question of kids in horror movies and kind of how they process these things and how they grow up to develop. But this kid, he's gone from It, where in the opening scene of It, I'm sure the director at some point had to have the conversation of, hey, a clown just bit your arm off. And so you have to crawl around the floor and pretend like you have no arm. Uh-huh. So he's like processing some really dark shit. And then, yeah, in this movie, he says some crazy shit.
Yeah,
he's a total sociopath. It kind of reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if you remember, was it Macaulay Culkin in The Good Son?
Yeah.
I kind of had those vibes, but this also has a supernatural element to it.
But they never fully committed to that supernatural element. It's just like, hey, this is what happened, which maybe it could be good because if they tried to explain it, you'd be like, really?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like,
especially since the way they presented it, they're like, this is a thing that happens all over the world, except for this part.
Yeah. it's like our Western civilization can't imagine this, but it's been going on in, you know, the rest of the world, you know.
India and all of these other places. So it's like the norm. It's totally the norm. But yeah, you can't wait until they get too old, because once the kids get too old, then one or of the personalities has to set in. Yeah. And take over. So it just so happens that this kid's second personality tended to be quite nefarious.
He's a serial killer. So if you're following the lore in this movie, the times when a soul takes over another body or whatever is when a child is born at the same time that somebody is dying. But the person that died had some unfinished business.
Yeah, and so they need to finish their business.
And sometimes it's nice. Like, one of the stories was the kid just needed to see his mother die. Right?
Yeah.
But it just so happens in this one that it's a serial killer. And
sometimes it's nice and wholesome, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, like I said, there's a lot of predictable moments where, you know, you can't trust the child around living things, specifically smaller living things.
Yeah,
or, you know, he, you know, acts out against his classmates because he decides out of nowhere, even though he's a total introvert and doesn't talk to anybody else, all of a sudden he decides that he's going to, wants to be a part of a group.
Yeah.
Part, you know, in school, and it doesn't work go that way. So, but there was a lot of really cool moments where, especially where he goes back and forth between being the kid and possibly being this adult, where you're just like, wow. I mean, that those moments with the cinematography, specifically, there is this one where he's running down the hallway. And he turns into the adult, and it's just really super freaky. Like, even I got a little jump out of that one.
Well, so had you seen the trailer for this?
No, I tried to avoid trailers.
That was the two best scares in the movie were in the trailer.
In the trailer? Oh, that's disappointing.
Was that one, and then there was the one with when he's in the with the therapist.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
Which are great scenes. And if I hadn't already seen them like 3 or 4 times,
you would be like much more impressed. Because those were probably my two favorite scenes.
Right.
With, you know, as far as being creepy, legitimately right. Thrilling.
Yeah.
And that scene with the therapist is kind of when the kid starts saying some of that stuff like Reagan from The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Like, and it was a little off-putting, but I know they're going for the shock value and they definitely had it.
Yeah. And definitely the ending, I thought, I mean, you can see it coming pretty much a mile away. Like you're like, oh, I know how this is going to end, or where it's going or where it's headed. Especially when the dad is such a stupid person. Like has he never seen a horror movie with a creepy child in it before? Because this is what happens to you. But even at the end, I thought it was still like, I thought it had some enough creativity in it to be entertaining for me.
Yeah, we were talking about some of the worst horror movies of last year. This won't be on the very bottom. This will probably be towards the middle. I don't even really think it's all that forgettable. Like we talked about Winchester last year. Like, I know I saw it. I paid to see it. I don't remember anything about it. This will be something I at least remember seeing. It'll probably, like, you know, during October when I revisit a lot of horror movies. Probably revisit it at some point.
I think a big part of that is the child acting, the child actor. Like, he was really, really good in this.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of bought that creepy kid vibe from him the whole time.
Yeah, he was definitely
the standout.
I agree with you 100%. Because like you said, a lot of the other actors, maybe with the exception of Colm Feore, he was the hypnotist reincarnationist guy who's been in a lot of stuff like Chronicles of Riddick and that kind of thing. He's the only other person that I was really taken by, but you know, even the mom did a great job, but like you said, the dad sort of was in the background. There weren't really a whole lot of characters in this movie at all.
No, you can kind of see how this movie was made. Like if you've been on a movie set, like everybody besides the two parents and the kid couldn't have had more than 3 or 4 days on set.
Yeah.
So what scares me is that the writer of this screenplay did the screenplay for Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He did Pet Sematary.
Oh, the first Pet Sematary?
No, the one that's coming out.
The new one.
The new one's coming out. And he did The Grudge, which is coming out in 2020.
Oh, wow.
So, like, if this is what we're to expect from those three movies, which is, like, pretty high-profile horror releases coming out, I'm not too excited about
that. Yeah, that does make me... Because, again, I think for me, and I guess I'll just go into my final thoughts here, this movie was mediocre for me in a lot of ways. Like I keep saying, there was so much that was predictable about it that you just, if you've ever watched a horror movie, it kind of throws all the regular tropes at you, mm-hmm. But it did have enough originality and creativity that kept me interested throughout. So yeah, I agree with JC that this isn't a movie that's just going to fall by the wayside for me. Like it kept me entertained. I'll remember it next year when I'm like, oh, that movie with the kid, I liked that one, you know? So I think that, and it's still was good. It's better than what we usually see in the January, February film dump. That's for sure. So I'm going to give it 6 pipe wrenches out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly gave my thoughts at the beginning where it exceeded the expectations. I liked all the performances. Yeah, it's It's big for a horror movie if I see it and I'm like, yeah, I like that, and I'll probably watch it again. You know, that's pretty big for me, especially since I'll revisit most things. But with horror, I'm extra particular because, yeah, if it's bad, it's really bad. No point in ever revisiting it, especially if it's got no redeeming factors. This has plenty of things redeeming about it. So I would give it maybe 7 out of 10 lion t-shirts that the kid was wearing at the end that I have to have.
I would say this was enjoyable. It's like a popcorn movie. There's nothing controversial other than like the kids' language. It's everybody's going to enjoy this movie. My wife hates horror, just not into horror, but she could sit down and watch this movie. There's nothing too scary about it. It's kind of middle of the road. The acting by the child actor was great. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in some future stuff. And then the mother too, was it Taylor Schilling? Is that her name?
Yeah. Taylor Schilling.
Yeah. It was great to see her in some stuff as well. So, it was kind of funny. We were talking about Halloween and Michael Myers earlier.
Yeah.
This kind of felt to me like, if Michael was never institutionalized after that first kill, like this is what would happen. He would just keep killing and killing.
Nice.
So I kind of enjoyed that part of it. I would rewatch. It's definitely rewatchable. I would probably give it. Oh, one thing I wanted to say, some of the visuals in it, for example, there's like three jump scares in the first like 3 minutes of the movie. So you know, it's not going to be the best movie if they relying on jump scares. But, one of the visuals is like, I don't want to give it away. I won't give it away. But the kid ends up looking really like the leprechaun from the movie. It was really weird. So it kind of threw me off for a second. But I would probably give this 6.5 leprechaun heads.
Nice. And since we have our own prodigy here, which one are you? Are you the good JC or the bad JC?
I'm always the good one.